Chapter 2 Tyr lowered the silk noose toward her damnation. Rope spooled out from careful fingers toward the anxious woman quietly working at the desk below. The target was perhaps 30, wearing a slave's dress, her copper-coloured hair pulled up in a simple ponytail. As Tyr watched, the woman folded a piece of the Luxon-imbued flash paper that all her spies used. She paused and took a sip of an expensive whiskey.
"Don't look up. Please don't look up."
The woman was Prism Gavin Giles' room slave. She was the White's hidden spy mistress. She was Tyr's former superior and her mentor. Mauricia put down her whiskey, and as she sealed the note, she said,
"Orholm, forgive me."
Tyr was using the shimmer cloak that Murder Sharp had given her, but because she was clinging to the ironwork on the ceiling, it hung away from her body, and it didn't hide the dangling noose at all. But Mauricia didn't look up. She put the note aside and pulled out another sheet of thin paper. As her mentor leaned forward again, Tyr dexterously flipped the noose over Mauricia's head and then dropped from the ceiling, holding the rope. Draped over a beam above, the noose jerked tight around Mauricia's throat and hauled her to her feet. The sharp movement flung her chair backward just as Tyr, holding the other end, swung down and forward. The falling chair cracked across Tyr's shins a moment before she crashed into Mauricia. Somehow, Tyr kept from releasing the rope, and she didn't cry out. Mauricia was choking, grabbing at her neck, scrambling to get her feet under her. Amazing how pain shuts down your thinking. If Tyr hadn't just gotten her shins destroyed, there were a dozen things she would have done. Instead, she clung stupidly to the rope, gasping, tears springing from her eyes, face to face with her old superior. As Mauricia regained her feet, Tyr saw the problem. She wasn't as heavy as Mauricia. Mauricia noticed it too. Though gagging, she grabbed the rope above her head and pulled down with all her strength. Something shimmered in the corner of Tyr's eye, and Murder Sharp became visible as he took quick steps across the carpet. He buried a fist in Mauricia's stomach. Mauricia's strangled cough blew spit across Tyr's face. The slave woman went slack. In quick motions, Sharp took the noose from Tyr, threw a sack over Mauricia's head, and bound Mauricia's hands behind her back in such a way that any move she made to escape would tighten the noose around her neck. Master Sharp was gifted with knots. He forced Mauricia to her knees and checked once more that she could breathe. All the fight had gone out of her.
"Not good," Master Sharp said, turning back to Tyr.
He was a lean man with sharp features, orange-red hair, and a short beard the colour of fire. His most remarkable features, though, were his teeth and his too big, too frequent smile, which he flashed, now joylessly, from mere habit. Usually the teeth he revealed with that smile were too white and too perfect. On most hunts, he wore dentures made of predators' teeth. But today, perhaps because his mission wasn't to kill anyone, he wore dentures of beaver teeth. A full, disconcerting mouth of big, wide, flat incisors. They barely fit in his mouth.
"Not very good at all. But you kept her from destroying any of the papers," he continued, "so I'll accept it."
"You were here the whole time?" Tyr asked.
She set the chair back upright to give herself a moment of not looking at the monster who was now her master. She massaged her aching shins.
"Orholm, have mercy. Those beaver teeth made her skin crawl." "This is too important for me to let you bungle it. She was some kind of secretary for the Prism. Who knows what she has access to?"
"Secretary?" So the Order didn't know what Mauricia really was. Why, then, was it kidnapping her? And why kidnapping? Tyr had thought that the Order only killed people. Not that it wouldn't murder Mauricia later. Handing Tyr the noose, Murder Sharp strode to the window to look down at the islands. Even from where she was, Tyr could see a thick curl of black smoke rising to greet the morning sun. Earlier this morning, their trainer, Tremblefist, had blown the black powder stores beneath the cannon tower so Kip and the rest of the Mighty could escape by sea. He'd probably given his life doing it. The squad had gotten away while Tyr had chosen to stay here, and now she was doing this. She was a fool.
We're lucky, Sharp said. The few black guards who weren't already on the parade route have abandoned their posts to get down to that tower. Still, no time to waste. You watch her. Break her neck if she screams.
He shook his head at that last part. He'd said that for Mauricio's benefit. He made a fist and mimed hitting her stomach. Knock the wind out of her if she screams, he meant. Why he hadn't just gagged her, Tia didn't know, but she didn't ask. She'd learned not to push the mercurial assassin. Sometimes he had deeper plans, sometimes he didn't think of the obvious. But he never liked being questioned, and there was no upside to Tia in appearing too smart. Sharp scooped all the papers off the table and into a sack. He opened drawers and grabbed every paper with writing on it and thumbed through all the blank pages to make sure nothing was hidden from him. Then he was off, searching the rest of the room. Mauricio gave two sharp little tugs on the rope in Tia's hand.
Shh, Tia said.
Mauricio waited a few seconds and tugged again. She wanted to say something. What was Tia going to tell her? She hadn't known Mauricio outside of their work, but she'd felt a kinship and deep respect for the woman. They had both been slaves. Both were spies, and Mauricio had risen as high as any slave or spy could. Mauricio had once told Tia that the order would make her do something terrible.
Let it be on my head, but do it, she'd said.
But there was no way she could have guessed that the something terrible would be her own kidnapping and likely murder. Another tug. Master Sharp had ducked into the slave's closet off the main room, out of sight and earshot.
He's gone, only for a moment, Tia whispered. Third draw, left side, Mauricio whispered. Halfway back, straight up, push hard, quick!
Master Sharp had left the drawer open, so Tia had only to take one step and stoop. The surface felt flat, but as Tia pushed hard on it, she felt something snap with a slight chalky scent of broken blue luxin, and a tiny section of the wood sank in. A folded piece of parchment dropped into her hand. Tia stepped back into place, stashing the parchment in a pocket.
Got it, she whispered. Tug, when you need me,
Master Sharp stepped back in.
What's she saying?
What? Tia said. For one terrifying moment, her mind went blank.
Oh, she's trying to bribe me,
Tia said it like she was bored. Staring at her hard, Master Sharp ran a freakishly long pink tongue over those horrid, wide teeth.
I took a bribe, he smacked his lips. Once. Had no plan to let the man go, of course, and killed him as soon as I got the coin.
Sharp tucked a package of documents tied with red or green ribbon into his sack. Tia was colorblind, so she could tell only that it was one or the other.
No harm, right? The old man disagreed, emphatically.
He smiled, too broadly. Something about those teeth twisted Tia's stomach more than when he'd worn a full set of wolf's fangs.
How much did she offer? He asked.
Tia froze. There was a hook in that question. Mauricio, the prism's room slave, might have squirreled away a small fortune. Mauricio, the spy, would have saved a lot more, and with her life on the line, would she not offer a large bribe? But maybe not too large. A spy mistress would be smart enough to start small.
Too long, T. Don't take too long.
Tia said, she hadn't mentioned any figures, and I wasn't listening anyway. I'm not in this for coin. Change the subject. Change the subject.
Why are you then? Master Sharp asked.
Are we really going to have this conversation in front of her? Tia asked. Now? You said we needed to.
We don't need to worry about her, his voice lowered dangerously. And don't question me.
Oh, Hollum have mercy. That cemented it. If you were in the Order of the Broken Eye, there was only one reason you didn't worry when someone learned your secrets. Mauricio was going to die. Tia said,
I'm here for revenge.
Revenge on who?
Tia cocked her head as if it were an odd question.
On all of them.
He grinned, this time for real.
You'll get plenty of that, and you'll come to the Crimson Path eventually.
The true friendliness should have made him less scary, but any comfort she might have felt was ground to paste between those inhumanly wide teeth. He walked over to Mauricio, still on her knees.
How much would you give us?
Tremulously, she said,
As much as you want, I swear. I can get access to the Prism's account if we act fast. Please, sir, please.
She broke off as if terrified. It twisted Tia's guts because she couldn't tell which was real, Mauricio's earlier bravery or her current terror. Maybe both.
I've changed my mind, Master Sharp said. If she yells, kill her.
Had he forgotten he'd already threatened that? Or did he actually mean it this time? Mauricio collapsed, sobbing quietly. Sharp said, standing so close to Tia, his sweet breath washed over her face.
How have I never noticed?
As if it were the most natural thing in the world, he pushed her lower lip down with a finger.
You have a beautiful lower left dog tooth.
He pushed her lip right and left, examining her teeth as if she were a mare.
No, just the one. Good color on the rest, but boring.
He shrugged, smelled his finger, licked off her saliva like a chef tasting soup.
Better. You listened to me about the parsley, didn't you? Add mint, fresh leaves when you can. Tuck them in the gums. Don't chew or you'll get bits in your teeth. Unsightly.
He turned away and she hoped he didn't notice her tremble. He said,
I need to check the White's room and make a distraction. Be ready to go quick. If I'm not back in 5, untie her, throw her off the balcony as if she's suicided, and make your way out the same way we got in.
He threw his hood over his head and pulled the laces through the grommets quickly, cinching the mask tight over his nose and mouth, leaving only his eyes clear and those shadowed under the hood. He turned and began shimmering. On the back of his grey cloak, the image of a tufted grey owl appeared with its wings spread and talons extended to strike. The image shimmered out of phase with the rest of the cloak and disappeared last. The door opened, showing a hallway marked with smoke and pools of blood and scratches and divots in the stone walls from arrows and bullets from the mighty's battle with the light guards earlier. That felt like a lifetime ago. Then the door shut quietly. Tia instantly shot a wave of paral gas in an arc where Murder Sharp had been standing to make sure he was really gone. He was.
Quickly, Tia said. What do you want me to do?
Mauricio got up on her knees. Her voice was breathy with controlled fear.
Did he take the papers from my desk? Package, all tied together in red ribbon? Yes.
Tia could hear the heavy sigh of despair expelled into the hood over Mauricio's head. The spy mistress said,
Tia, you have to get those papers. I was to keep them safe for Caris. What are they? They're the White's instructions for her successor. They have everything Caris needs to know how to rule. Secrets, plans, names. There are things in there Caris can't learn any other way.
Oh, hell no. How was Tia to steal papers from Murder Sharp?
We weren't sent for the papers, Mauricio. We were sent for you. I think Sharp's just grabbing whatever he's lying about.
Mauricio sagged.
Any other day, any other hour, and all those papers will be locked away safe. No matter, no time.
She bent for a moment.
He'll take it all to the old man's office anyway. That parchment you grabbed from my desk, it's a code. Crack it. It's the combination or keyword to the old man of the desert's office. Tia, that office is here, in the Chromeria, maybe in this very tower. That means he, or she, we don't even know for sure that the old man of the desert is a man, is here. But if you open the office without using the code, it'll wash the room in fire. Everything in it will be destroyed. You can't let that happen, not least because the White's papers will be destroyed too.
I'll find it, I swear. But what? Tia cut off at the sound of steps outside the room. She tapped Mauricio's shoulder to tell her to be silent and drafted, disappearing with her own borrowed shimmer cloak. But whoever it was walked past, and Tia heard the banging of the door to the roof. She and the squad had had quite the fight up there only hours ago, but only a single blackguard was standing watch now. Master Sharp said the commanders of the Black Guard would isolate the area until they could examine it to try to figure out what had happened.
What about you?
Tia asked.
How do we save you?
A pause. Tia wished she could see Mauricio's face, but the bag stayed perfectly still, giving no hint of her fear, or her bravery, or her hatred, or her desperation.
We don't, Mauricio said quietly. You've seen Sharp's face. They're going to kill you.
Mauricia's head bowed. Just pray for me, she said, and there was her fear again.
At least let me give you a knife. And what happens to you when this assassin finds your knife on me?
Mauricia asked. Before Tia could protest further, the door opened and closed. Master Sharp was speaking before he was even fully visible.
Give me that cloak.
My shimmer cloak? Tia asked.
It's not yours. It's the Order's, and don't forget it. I'm the one who stole it. I risked everything to— Now!
Tia unclasped the choker and handed Master Sharp the burnt-hemmed shimmer cloak. He lowered his own hood, threw Tia's cloak on over his cloak, attached the choker awkwardly. He pulled his hood back up, but couldn't lace it properly. He swore.
What are you doing?
Tia asked.
He swore again and said to Mauricia, You do other than what I say, and you die now, and not easy. Understand?
Her head bobbed, the sack trembling as she wept. He slashed the rope between her neck and her wrists and slung her over his shoulder.
Tia, help me with the cloak.
Tia spread out the second bunched cloak over Mauricia's body. Given that Mauricia was slung over Sharp's shoulder, it covered her fully, if awkwardly.
I have to sneak out without a cloak, Tia asked. You go out the way we came in, outside. Collect the climbing crescents as you go down. Be quick. You won't have long before people start looking up here.
He poked Mauricia.
You! When I tell you, you scream that there's a fire in the White's quarters. Because there is.
Oh, that was why he hadn't gagged Mauricia. The blackguards would recognize her voice. Still holding Mauricia over his shoulder, Master Sharp stooped to pick up the bag full of papers he'd stolen.
You want me to take the bag? Tia asked.
He almost handed it to her, then paused. Anxiety hammered great blows against her mask of nonchalance. He said,
Better not. Get climbing. I could bring it to—
Now, he said, and there was quiet menace in his voice. Without waiting, he turned his back, and far more slowly than usual, the cloaks began shimmering, the fox emblem on Tia's burnt cloak showing dark grey against the grey, and then fading. The door opened and Tia smelled smoke.
Fire! Fire in the White's quarters!
Mauricia shouted.
Fire!
And then the door closed behind them. The obvious course was to hurry up and climb down the wall. Once the smoke started billowing out of the White's windows, eyes would turn toward the prism's tower. Tia couldn't be clinging to the walls in full view when that happened. But Tia had a card to play that Master Sharp didn't know about. She had her own cloak. The master cloak that Kip had given her. She pulled it out of her pack, the material thin and weightless as liquid light. She put it on, drew the choker around her neck, pulled up the hood, snapped it closed over her face. She could follow Sharp unseen. But after extinguishing the fire, the blackguards would search the tower exhaustively. If Tia followed Sharp, the blackguards would find the climbing crescents stuck to the outside of the tower. The Order had spies in the blackguards, so they would learn of it, and they would know Tia had disobeyed. It wouldn't be proof that Tia was a spy, but the Order didn't need proof. They would kill her. But if she didn't follow Sharp, they would kill Mauricia. Mauricia had ordered Tia to let her die. The old Tia, the slave Tia, would have accepted that order and shrugged off responsibility for what happened next. Tia wasn't that Tia anymore. This was war, and Tia was behind enemy lines alone. She had to make her own decisions and live with the consequences, like a warrior, like an adult, like a free woman. In the unholy calculus of war, Tia was somehow suddenly worth more than a woman older, wiser, smarter, and better connected than she was. Tia was starting to suspect that the Order was a greater threat to the Chromeria than even the Colour Prince. Saving Mauricia, even if Tia could find out how, would jeopardize the Chromeria's best chance ever to destroy the Order, and only Tia knew now about the old man's offer. Only she had the code. It's war, T. Friends die. Jaw clenched, heart leaden, Tia went out onto the balcony, closed the door behind her, and stepped onto the climbing crescents. She descended, taking away the evidence of Mauricia's murder with each step. It's war, T. The innocent die. And the best their friends can do is get vengeance. Later.